This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello and welcome to Open Eyes. Here we are on New Year's Eve, and what are you doing instead of going out and having a party time? You're here spending time with me. I really appreciate that. Tonight I have a special guest for you guys to listen to. It is my brother from another mother named Joe Long. He is my dearest friend and companion on this planet, and we always have really interesting, deep conversations. The conversation that we had tonight, I think, is going to go places that you will find really fun, really interesting, and really educational. Definitely stick around for it. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to bring you some news with my views. These are some things that I've run across that I found both interesting and disturbing, to say the least. First off, a man was sentenced to 5 years in prison after his four children were found emaciated and malnourished, completely nonverbal, and unable to even identify food properly. This after he had already lost three children to the exact same things in 2006. Judge Eric Eliff said Wayne Sperling, age 67, made outrageous excuses for neglecting the boys to the point where they could not recognize food and did not learn his lesson after an earlier child abuse conviction cost him custody of his three other children. A quote from the judge is, "The message is, you've got to treat your children with dignity and respect. They are not pets. They are not possessions. They are human beings that need to be carefully nurtured. That didn't happen here." His wife was sentenced to 90 days in jail with 5 years of probation. Now, here's my take on this. Number one, why was the wife only given 90 days when this guy was given 5 years? She should be sentenced to the exact same jail time as the husband. She is, after all, just as guilty as the husband is. Why this disparity between male and female when it comes to jail time sentences? You see this all the time. A great example is in sex abuse cases where a female teacher will get a slap on the wrist or released from jail on probation or maybe 30 days in jail, whereas a male teacher doing the exact same thing would end up with 10, 20 years worth of prison time. It's ridiculous. The amount of disparity that goes on between the two is stupid. It really is. If you're going to do something that's going to get you in trouble like this, you should be treated the exact same way, whether you're female or male. I mean, isn't that what feminism is all about? Number two, why is it that this guy was even given the chance to keep possession or custody of other children after he had been convicted of doing this exact same stuff to three other children? This makes no sense. This makes absolutely no sense. And, you know, it really brings to mind the thought, I hear this all the time, parents should have to have a license to be parents, you know? And it's cases like this that really make me think, oh my God, they might just be right with it. It's just, I don't know. It's craziness, the things that go on when it comes to this stuff. You see this type of abuse stuff all the time, and it's sick and it's sad. It really is. A 2-year-old boy shot and killed his mother after he got a handgun from her purse and aimed it at her while they were shopping at Walmart. She had a concealed weapons permit. Stu Miller, spokesman for the police department in Spokane, Washington, said, "The young boy was left in a shopping cart, reached into his mother's purse, and grabbed a small caliber handgun, which discharged one time. Deputies who responded to the Walmart found Rutledge dead," the sheriff's office said. Now, the reason that I wanted to bring this article to your attention is the fact that in the article, they don't just talk about this incident, which, yes, is a tragedy, and it never should have happened. The mother knew that the gun was in her purse, and any responsible gun owner knows if you're going to have something on you, like, let's say, in a purse, for instance, don't walk away from that purse. You carry that purse on you at every moment of time. You definitely don't leave that purse in the same zone that a 2-year-old or other children are going to be able to have access to it. That's just stupidity and irresponsible. However, in the article, they then go on to talk about this. And again, I'll quote from the article here. "Idaho lawmakers passed legislation earlier this year allowing concealed weapons on the state's public college and university campuses. Despite facing opposition from all 8 of the state's university college presidents, lawmakers sided with gun rights advocates who said that the law would better uphold the Second Amendment. Under the law, gun holders are barred from bringing their weapons into dormitories or buildings that hold more than 1,000 people, such as stadiums or concert halls." Now, I understand the tie-in to the fact that this Idaho stuff was mentioned. The lady who was shot and killed by her child is originally from Idaho. But what does any of that actually have to do with the article and with the 2-year-old that shot the mother? Nothing at all. Not one thing. They're two completely separate issues, and it's obvious that this was being used as a platform for gun control. I mean, here come some statistics for you, just because obviously these are tied together, right? There were 1,242 deaths by airplane accidents in 2003. There were also 12,000 that were due to unnecessary surgery, 27,000 hospital errors that resulted in death from the wrong medications, neglect, that sort of thing, 80,000 infections gotten while in hospitals, all of these deaths in 2013, 106,000 deaths by adverse drug reactions, 2,500 deaths from makeup, 41,000 deaths by poisoning. And these are all stats from the American Medical Association Journal of Medicine, 2013. So the obviousness in this, in these statistics that are around, is that, well, medicine is obviously bad. It's obviously bad for us, and lots more deaths are done from the Western medicine mindset than there ever has been due to illegal guns or anything like that. So why don't we ban Western medicine? How about that, for instance? You see, that's how the dark masters like to play things. They want these guns removed from our possession. They want that Second Amendment taken away. And you know, a little sideline to that is that I see a lot of people trying to speak about gun control and trying to advocate taking guns away. And they're using their First Amendment rights to do so. And they're well within their rights to complain about the guns or to try to get them removed by using their free speech. But I want these people to realize that if you are using your First Amendment rights to take away the Second Amendment rights, you're no longer going to end up having the First Amendment rights, because your Second Amendment rights are what is keeping those First Amendment rights safe and sound. And if you don't think it's that way, you really need to think very hard about it all again. Which brings me to my next story. So far, there have been 15 deaths of children due to this new current flu season and the new flu virus that has been spreading around. The CDC is calling this an epidemic. I mean, 15 deaths. An epidemic. you gotta love their doom and gloom nature, right? A quote from the article that I'm reading this from: as epidemic flu spreads across the United States, with 15 child deaths reported in 9 states so far this year, federal health officials said on Tuesday they could not yet predict the severity of the current season. Oh, gee, really? With flu season extending from the fall into the spring, the toll is likely to increase, said Joe Breese, Epidemiology and Prevention Branch Chief for the CDC's Influenza Division. Flu is amazingly unpredictable, Breese said. As flu becomes more common and more intense over the next few weeks, unfortunately, those death numbers and hospitalization numbers will continue to rise. There were 109 child flu deaths in the last flu season, according to the CDC. And of course, the call is for vaccinations to happen. Breezy urged people who have not yet been vaccinated to get their flu immunizations, which the CDC recommends for nearly everyone over the age of 6 months. Even though the vaccine that is currently available is not for the strain of flu that's going around this season and would be completely ineffectual, and that's according to the CDC themselves. They've stated many times in the past that the flu vaccine does not work when it's a different strain than what the vaccine covers. I mean, remember the whole swine flu debacle that ended up happening? That was all that was ever talked about. Oh, we're in real trouble. The vaccine that we have is ineffective because it's a different strain. So why the BS change to all of this new repetition in the news cycles that are going on? I mean, why all of a sudden is it now effective to use a different vaccine strain? And of course, this is all barring the fact that the vaccine doesn't do anything but give you the flu to begin with anyways. Okay, finally, I wanted to bring one last story into the mix because it is something that I get into a little with my guest tonight. A Delaware mother has started a petition to force Target stores to apologize to the black community for using white models instead of black models to advertise their Annie movie tie-in clothing line. It was started by Renike Shelton after she was surfing with her daughter who is an Annie addict, and her daughter posed the question, "That's not what Annie looks like. How come the new black Annie isn't good enough? Does that mean I'm not good enough?" Shelton said, "I explained to her that the original Annie was white and that both Annies are beautiful and that sometimes people make mistakes and have to apologize for them." Now, wait just a damn minute here. What exactly does Target have to apologize for in this? They made an ad with clothing to sell to people of all colors and creeds, and that's that. Why did this woman not say to her child, "Well, the original Annie was white, red-haired girl with freckles"? Does the fact that she was white mean that she's not good enough? I mean, this could have been a great teaching opportunity to try to change the way that this child sees color and not make her see color. But no, the mother just had to take the opportunity to spread yet more racial divisions, and this time to the next generation. We've got to get away from this stupidity, guys. I mean, this is exactly the kind of thing that the Dark Masters just love to see us doing to ourselves. And we're doing it over and over again. The racial divide is such a hot button. We could disarm that in a heartbeat if we really, really wanted to. Well, guys, I'm going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we will have my guest. As I stated earlier, his name is Joe Long. So stick around. We'll be right back with our guest.
TROLLS. This is a terrible new disorder being diagnosed every day. Victims of this disease have been found in psychologists, scientists, doctors, other people with letters and numbers behind their names, and anyone else who is in the world specifically to cause trouble. It stands for Totalitarian Regime Orchestrating Laughable Liar Syndrome, and is a terrible burden on anyone around those that have been diagnosed with this disease. Symptoms may include debunking all truths, diversion tactics, divisive talk, and flame war baiting, COINTELPRO tactics and maneuvers, and making rude and obnoxious comments even where such things are not warranted. You can help cure the problem by opening your eyes to the facts, speaking about this disorder to anyone you know, and not allowing their disease to influence your life. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with TROLLS, please seek immediate assistance by going to latenightinthemidlands.com and listening to all of the shows that are available. Only you can prevent TROLLS. This message brought to you by IRA, the Independently Reporting Association. Thank you for your support. There are days that the red pill is bitter in my stomach, but I can't get it back out. I think because I have to. I speak because I have no choice. I walk through this dark age we're in with open eyes. Listen to Open Eyes on latenightinthemidlands.com, and together, maybe we won't stumble and fall.
Well, hello, and thank you for sticking around through that break. I wanted to bring my guest on. This guest is somebody that you're going to hear quite often on my show, I am sure. He is my dearest friend. I have an enjoyable time debating different topics with him because we have sort of different viewpoints on every aspect of reality. I tend to look at things a little bit more of a, he would say, liberal bent, but I would say more of a libertarian bent. And he tends to take a more conservative viewpoint on things. We don't just talk about politics, though. We talk about every topic. We talk about everything under the sun. And I wanted to bring him on as a guest really soon into my time here on Late Night in the Midlands, because this is someone that you're going to hear quite often. And I really appreciate him joining with me tonight. His name is Joe Long. And again, he has been my dearest friend for many years. And I hope that you guys get as much of an enjoyment out of listening to us have our conversations together as we do having them. So, Joe, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, bro. Been a while since we've talked, and I'm happy to be here tonight and wanted to say hello, America, and forgive me if I'm a little nervous. This is the first time I've ever actually talked to this many people at the same time. you're right, Ira. I do usually say you come from a more liberal bent than I do. And we've known each other for quite a long time. And some of the conversations we've had over the years, I would have loved to have a tape recorder on, because they would be pure comedy gold by this time.
Indeed. I know everybody that is ever around us when we have our conversations tends to just sit back and laugh and really enjoy it. So my wife included.
Oh, Jolie absolutely adores listening to the two of us talk, for the simple fact that she never knows exactly where our conversations are going to take us. We never know exactly where our conversations are going to take us.
Which includes tonight. We actually have a few different topics on tap for the evening. And just so that you guys know, when I'm talking to Joe, we tend to do things more of a conversation between two people, as opposed to me being an interviewer and he being the interviewee. So you'll have to get kind of used to the way that we have a conversation together. It's a little bit of a different style as far as radio goes, but it's enjoyable. I have a lot of fun with it, and I know that he does as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, we could go with the old-fashioned interview model, but for the way that our dynamic works, we play off each other so much that you could start out by asking me questions, and by 5 minutes into it, we're going to be having a conversation rather than an interview.
Exactly. So the first topic that I wanted to get to tonight, well, I guess before even getting into our topics, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself so that the listeners can learn a little bit about you and where you're coming from with things?
All right. I'm, as Ira said, I have known him now for several years, but I've done a lot of different things in my life. I've been a truck driver. I've been worked in the medical profession as an optician and in medical offices. I've been a waiter. I've been a, you know, factory worker. So I come at the way I look at the world from a very unique perspective, in the fact that I've worked in a lot of different industries. Plus, I was raised by a mother that's been in the medical profession her entire professional career, and a dad that was a police officer, and I've got a lot of family that's police officers. So I have a more conservative bent due to the fact that the way I've worked and how I was raised. I have children. I have two of them. You know, I work hard. I try to provide for them. So
You're quite literally what I would refer to as the average Joe.
Pun intended, of course.
And that's not a bad thing, because when you're doing a show like this, for instance, we hear a lot of people that claim to be experts. We hear a lot of people that have the letters behind their names and they're wearing the white lab jackets and so on and so forth. But the average person that's out there, it's so important to get their thoughts on things, because, you know, for us, the average people, we are the ones that actually matter when it comes to the decision makings and the things that go on, because we're the ones that are directly impacted by it all.
You're right. I am an average guy. I just, you know, I go to work, I come home, I sleep, I play with my kids. And on Sundays during football season, you can either find me at work griping and complaining that I'm not at home, sitting at home watching the game, or sitting at home with a beer in my hand watching a football game.
But the important thing, too, is that you don't believe the lines that were sold on a daily basis. You might be forced to watch Fox News in your household, for instance, but you're not necessarily going to believe everything that Fox News tells you.
Well, no, just like you don't, since you're forced to watch CNN in yours, because that's one of the channels that a certain lady that lives in your household watches. I've been
unfortunately
there. Remember, I've been there. But, well, actually, right now, I'm actually not forced to watch Fox News, because thanks to a small dispute between Fox News and Dish Network, I get to watch The Blaze, which is much better.
Oh, yeah, you have the Dish Network. You're free from Fox for a while.
Yes, and like I said, I get to watch The Blaze because they've replaced it with The Blaze.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is Glenn Beck's network.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes, and believe me, I'd much rather watch Glenn Beck's network than Fox News. At least with Glenn Beck's network, I'm getting mostly the truth.
Yeah, you get a little bit more honesty there, even if I don't agree with everything that he has to say. He's at least a little more of the honest side of things than Fox News, for instance, or Faux News, as I refer to them, or they're the Communist balanced News Network.
Yeah, he's better than the Clinton News Network.
Yeah, Communist News Network is what I say. Anyways, the first topic that I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight is the whole thing that's going on in America right now with the riotings and the protests that are going on. This has become something, I guess, potentially very dangerous, and it's very concerning to me. I've watched all of it from the beginning, like the beginning stages back in August with the Michael Brown shooting and the protests that started there, all the way up to what we're seeing right now with the protesters becoming nationwide and the violence increasing, the looting and the rioting increasing, and the more divisive nature that it has taken on, as opposed to more of an eclectic nature when it first began. So that's one topic that I wanted to talk to everybody about tonight, and that I wanted to bring Joe in with, because he and I don't see eye to eye completely when it comes to this whole protest issue. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. I have long held the belief that there was a great movie that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was called PCU. Called Politically Correct University. And the defining line of that show was, I'm not going to protest. And I believe in that now, but for various reasons, because one, a lot of these protests don't do anything. I mean, it is a waste of time. It's a waste of effort that could be put into more constructive means of dealing with a problem. The other thing is, I come from a law enforcement background. I come from a law enforcement family. And do I agree with all the things that law enforcement are currently doing in this country? Not even close. I say one word to you, and I think you'll understand what I'm talking about, America. Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay. Cleveland Airsoft. Okay. We'll get into that in a minute. Now, the thing with Michael Brown and the officer in God, what is his name? In Ferguson.
In Ferguson, Missouri, it was Darren Wilson.
Yeah. The evidence that I have seen, and I have actually gone and gotten the raw evidence that has been released by the grand jury, Officer Wilson did everything he could do to not shoot. He got the snot kicked out of him in his own car with Michael Brown going after his weapon. And I know here come the trollers. But when I say this as somebody who has law enforcement background, law enforcement experience, and has read the evidence. Darren Wilson did everything he could and everything by the book to not shoot Michael Brown. Michael Brown gave him no choice.
Yeah, I've said many times that the fact that the protesters are using Michael Brown as their poster child is about as stupid as you can get, because this guy was a criminal. He had just committed a crime. He was out to cause trouble, and he found trouble. Now, granted, I will say as well that the crime that he committed before he encountered the police officer is not a death penalty crime. That is a fact. But the fact that he did go after the weapon and so on and so forth, I mean, that's been the guy has gone through the justice system, and he was found innocent of doing any crime. So we have to let that one in particular go. Exactly. And that's something that I've said all along.
The grand jury in the state of Missouri did not find enough evidence to charge Darren Wilson with a crime.
Right. They also
he has still been punished. He is no longer a police officer in the state of Missouri. And it's more than likely that there is not a police agency in this country that's going to touch him with a 10-foot cattle prod.
Yeah, but see, that gets into something else that like brings something into my mind that I wanted to mention as far as this whole thing is concerned. With Darren Wilson, for instance, after the shooting took place, a Kickstarter campaign opened up, which for those of my listeners who don't know what a Kickstarter campaign is, there's a website out there that's called Kickstarter.com that you can go to, and you can put a item up for people to come and donate money to, like as a cause. So for instance, some people will go there with an idea for a movie that they want to film and shoot and release, and say, okay, well, here's the idea. Can I get some people to back me with some funding? And it's basically a cloud funding sort of operation. So Michael Brown's family apparently had a Kickstarter campaign started for them. And at the same time as well, Darren Wilson had a Kickstarter campaign started for him. And he ended up with, the last time I looked, it was over $500,000 worth of funds in this campaign that he would be directly getting through this. So here's a guy who shot a kid, you know, and on and on and on. This guy dies, and now this cop gets $500,000 for it. You know, there's a lot of questionable actions that have taken place with it as far as both sides are concerned. And as I said, the protesters don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to Michael Brown. No, for instance.
No, they don't. And the thing is, the first round of protesting, yes, there was violence. Yes, there was overreactions on both sides by both the police department and the protesters. There were extreme overreactions on both sides. And that was borne out by the raw live news feeds from people that were actually in the crowd.
Which I watched extensively.
Yes, you have, and I watched them with you. And there are times that the police overreacted or reacted very badly to the situation. And there are other times that they were egged on by the protesters in the crowd trying to make themselves make it look like the police overreacted, and you saw both.
Yes, there were definitely people that were in there that were fomenting violence in the crowds. That there is no doubt about that. The one thing I thought was interesting when it came to a lot of the protests towards the beginning of things that had this sort of thing going on, the protesters themselves weeded those people out and forced them out of the crowds. I thought that was a good thing.
They're the ones that got arrested.
Right, exactly. Now, I will say, though, as well, that the fact that the police came in full military gear with MRAPs and firing off the tear gas and on, there was a lot of stupidity that was going on there on the part of the police, and there's no denying that.
No, I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
Being in full riot gear when you're faced with a crowd of 400 or 500 people.
Okay, there may not be an issue with that, but I'm saying I have an issue with them coming out with machine guns and MRAPs and so forth.
The thing is, that's the vehicles that the SWAT teams use. That is the standard riot, you know, gear. Now, it's not like when you and I were younger, you're 43, I'm 40. It's not like when we were in high school, and I know that you, my dear friend, have gone to your share of protests.
I've been to a few.
I've gone to my share when I was in college. You know, when we were there, yeah, they'd come out with the riot helmets and the baton and the shield and stand there and look at us. They try that now, somebody's gonna shoot them.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that
society has gotten a lot more violent.
Yeah,
they've escalated,
so we've escalated, so they've escalated, so we've escalated. It's a vicious circle, you know. I mean, exactly. It's going to come down to them standing there with a nuclear missile pointing at crowds next. You know, I mean, I'm facetious there, obviously, but
yeah, that sounds like the movie Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
You see where I got it from. Anyways, now you and I will have to agree to disagree when it comes to the militarization of the police forces. I know that we've had our share of discussions with it, some of them quite heated. I'm of the bent that the military, the militarization of the police departments has been far excessive, and that the use of force of the police departments has been far excessive. You tend to have more of a neutral viewpoint towards it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, you walk into a situation as a police officer, 90% of the time, you're outgunned. You walk in with a single 9mm semi-automatic handgun on your hip and a bulletproof vest when the person you walking up against could have a fully automatic Tech 9 or an M16. The balance has been out of whack for a long time. And so, yeah, now most, you know, not just the SWAT teams, but yeah, most standard officers, instead of carrying just a shotgun in their car, have an M4 assault rifle. Oh, there's that word. Watch out. An M4 assault rifle in their trunk. And I have no problem with that, because you're looking at a guy with a Tech 9, at least you've got something that is at least equal. And
yeah, it's something
been
comparable.
Getting that way ever since the Hollywood shootout about 20 years ago. If you remember that one.
I do. You may want to tell the public about that one, though. They might not remember.
About 20 some years ago, there was a shootout in Hollywood. A group of men walked into a bank, robbed the bank, and literally waited for the LAPD to show up. These men were wearing full body, homemade body armor that they had made from buying Kevlar vests at surplus auctions and then taping them to their body. They had fully automatic M16s, AK-47s with 100-round barrel clips on them, and the LAPD officers had their sidearms and some shotguns. That's all they had. And these guys were pumping hundreds and hundreds of rounds out, killed, I can't remember exactly how many officers were injured and were killed, because it, again, was 20-some years ago. It ended up that LAPD officers actually went into local gun stores and bought AR-15 assault rifles, or not bought, commandeered. The city reimbursed the shop owners at a rate of whatever the rate was. Hunting rifles, anything that could either penetrate these vests, return fire with a little bit higher rate of fire, or was accurate enough to hit these guys in the one place they weren't armored, their heads. But ever since then, since that, I believe it was in Northridge. Northridge is San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
That's the earthquake.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't the hills area, but yeah, I know which one.
Ever since that shootout, and it was all, you can look it up. Look up Hollywood shootout, police shootout in Hollywood, or it's online. You can find it. It was all caught on video from the news cameras that were, the helicopters and news cameras that were flying above it, just like any other thing in LA. Seems like there's more news cameras than there are flies.
Sometimes it seems that way, especially nowadays that everybody has an iPhone and all that.
And this, like I said, this was 20, but ever since then, police agencies across the country have started carrying these heavier caliber, and usually they are the M4 variant of the M16, which is a shorter carbine style, which is basically what the U.S. military now issues to common soldiers. It's a standard NATO round 5.56. It is a pretty nasty weapon when it comes right down to it. But I can see having it because of incidents like this.
Well, like I said, it's a thing where we've escalated, so they've escalated, so we've escalated, so they've escalated. It's
the criminals escalated first. They've always, yes, are the ones that step it up, and then the police and us common citizens. And if you haven't figured it out by now, I am a card-carrying member of the NRA. You can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. We have to buy bigger guns. Heck, I was at Gander Mountain the other day drooling over a 50 caliber sniper rifle.
Okay, well, let me get your take on this then, for instance. And I'm hitting you with this because this will be your first time hearing it, but I'm going to hit you with this and see what your opinion or take on it is. Here, just a second. Listen to this. Listen to this audio clip. This is from a police officer in Washington who was talking to a reporter about the MRAP that they had on display. The reporter was asking some questions. The police officer was describing it and what it can do and that sort of thing. And he had this to say about the fact that they had it. Here, take a listen to this.
Well, the nice thing about this piece of equipment is that if somebody is directing fire toward a team that's trying to get in, they can pull right up to a front. Take enemy fire and still try to address a threat without being fear of getting shot.
So I'm thinking that is totally appropriate in Iraq, but where? What kind of a situation in the U.S. would you see that happening?
I mean, we've got a lot of constitutionalists, a lot of people that stockpile weapons, a lot of ammunition. They have weapons here locally.
So as you could hear there, the police officer said the reason why they had this machine was because of the constitutionalists. What's your take on that?
That officer needs to have his head examined. Unfortunately, there are factions inside the police departments that don't believe that the Second Amendment's a good thing. That they believe they should be the only ones that have firepower. And as far as him making that comment about constitutionalists, and it apparently tells me that this guy is one of the ones that say, oh, you're one of the how did our great and glorious dictator put it? Ah, yes, the bitter clingers that cling to their God and their guns.
Yeah.
He is apparently one of those who believes in the whole bitter clingers. Most people that are stockpiling weapons are not doing it out of fear of the police, or they're not going to be attacking the police. They're doing it because either they have a constitutional right to do it and enjoy shooting sports and collecting guns, such as me and my dad, or B, they are waiting for the coming zombie apocalypse, which can, does, and probably will happen.
I know that
don't worry,
probably,
dear listeners, you will probably be hearing about either the zombie apocalypse or the imminent collapse of our all world economies sooner or later.
And probably here first. I know that part of the thing that he would probably had in mind as well is the militias. And that given the fact that it was in Washington, I know that there are a lot of militia groups, for instance, in Washington, in Montana, in, you know, so on and so forth. And a lot of these.
Forget Utah. Yeah. Don't want to leave anybody out.
And a lot of these different militia groups, they're not going to put up with crap, you know?
Oh, no, definitely not. But also, again, most militia groups are extremely peaceful people.
Yes, exactly.
And they're not messed with.
Exactly. And that's the point
and
that I was
point
trying to make
to
with
a
it.
Couple of incidents of this where I was sad to say I had to side with you as far as the things that law enforcement screwed up. Ruby Ridge.
Waco. Yeah.
No.
Well, Waco had its own issues.
You and I are going to argue about Waco one of these days, and we'll do it on air.
Yeah.
Because David Koresh was a complete, total whack job.
Well, yeah, the whole thing was a CIA operation. But again, different topic, different show.
Yeah, you'll understand, people, that we have a tendency, we'll give you all kinds of teasers about shows. Don't worry. We also please.
We will get there eventually. Okay, so another thing that I wanted to cover as far as this whole protest thing goes is, well, number one, you mentioned that you are not for protests. And
not
that,
really. Not at all.
And I have to say, I agree with you 100% with that, but actually for a little bit of a different reason. The reason why I think that protests and protesters and protesting is not a good way to go about things is that when it comes to protesting, people spend a lot of energy doing it that could be used in different ways. So I give an example for nuclear power plants. People go out and they'll protest nuclear power plants all the time. You see hundreds of people that are lined up in front of these different power plants and they're holding up their little signs and saying, oh, this has to go and we don't need this nuclear power and on and on and on. And I agree with them with that. There are better ways to do things than using nuclear power. Okay. However, these people that are there protesting, they spend a lot of money to do it, number one. They lose a lot of money to do it, number two, because they're losing time on jobs and so forth. But anyways, they spend a lot of money getting there, feeding themselves, you know, doing the whole science thing, on and on and on. If these people got together and did things in a different way, they would actually maybe make a difference. So if this group of people, hundreds of people across the country, got together and put their support towards creating a new energy type that would eliminate the need for the nuclear power, then that's one thing that they could do as opposed to protesting, which is not going to do any good in the end anyways. The nuclear power plants are still going to continue running because there's no economical reason for them to stop. They're still making money and there's no alternative power source that's going to discontinue the use of the nuclear power plant. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's like here, and I know that you've explained that we're in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area. Around here, the new big thing that they are trying to bring in are these giant windmills, which, okay, yeah, I can see that. They do produce energy. But you've got groups of people with signs in their yard saying, oh, no, no, no windmills here. I ask one question. Why not?
Well, there has been some evidence that shows that some of the windmills, the big farms that are out there, they create a droning noise that can be heard for miles, and it actually causes people to get sick and so forth. I understand part of the reason why they protest them, but again,
we're talking about the big farms in states like Kansas. The ones that would be around here would be probably like over in Ohio. They are widely spaced. Yeah, there's a bunch of them, but they're so widely spaced that you don't have that almost fan-like noise, which you and I would find rather
peaceful. I usually have a fan running all the time because I have tinnitus, and it helps to reduce it.
But, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Recently, I was in downtown Fort Wayne with my son. We went to a great place called Coney Island. Great hot dogs. But I digress. And my son and I are crossing the street, heading to go meet up with my mother. And I hear, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. And I look down at the courthouse green, and there's a group of people protesting. Ferguson. In Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah.
Where we have not had an officer-involved shooting in 2 years.
Yeah, and I understand
and
the...
And I wanted to so badly walk up to them and ask them one simple question.
Why?
Why? But I could not do that because I had my son with me.
Yeah.
And my son looks up at me and goes, Dad, what is going on? Why are they doing that? And I had no good answer for him.
Well, you see, and that mantra that they use, for instance, is again, stupid, because he never said that, you know, there was never that involved with it all. Right. There was never that involved with it all. This was an assumption that was being made on the part of the protesters, and they've moved it forward from there. Now, I will say, one of the other protest groups that is going on is the New York City incident with Eric Garner. The thing with Eric Garner, there is somewhat of a leg to stand on there with these protests that are going on there, because this guy was, the whole thing was filmed. I don't know if you've seen the video of his death or not, but
he said he did not. I mean, it was a police sting operation. They were trying to arrest known drug dealers and people that were buying drugs, and they told this guy, move on, you gotta leave, you gotta go, you can't be here. And he refused to go, so one of the cops threw his arm around his neck, put him in a chokehold, and rode him to the ground. Now, and this is something you informed me of recently, you know my opinion on chokeholds, and for those of you out there who've never heard me talk, which is just about everybody, I don't believe in a chokehold. I have, like I said, law enforcement background. I also have martial arts training. I know just and medical training, and I know just exactly how easy it is for a chokehold to turn fatal.
Real quick.
If the pressure is applied in the wrong spot, say you put put pressure on the carotid artery, 10 seconds. Dead. Just like that. And that is what happened with Eric Garner. The chokehold was applied. He was rode to the ground. It was in a wrong spot. Dead.
Yeah, it exacerbated the
New York City Police Department, thanks to one of the greatest mayors they ever had, Mr. Rudy Giuliani. In 1991, chokeholds were made illegal.
Right. And the officer that was involved in it did lose his job. He was removed from duty because of the chokehold that he used. The thing that I guess gets me with regards to it all is that, you know, the chokehold was done. The guy died all because he was selling untaxed cigarettes. I mean, what's the price of a cigarette? 25 cents? This thing was not a death penalty crime that he did, and yet he died because of it. Now, whether or not this was an accidental death or not doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The guy did not deserve to die for selling a frickin' cigarette, okay? So the protesters there in New York, they do have a leg to stand on as far as this guy is concerned. Yes, he may have been a criminal, but the act that he committed was not a death penalty crime. Does that make sense?
Yes, they do. But again, a grand jury was impaneled. They looked at the evidence. They saw it as an accidental death.
Yeah, but see, again, there's part of the problem. If you look on the history of indictments against police officers, you'll find that by and large, they're never indicted for one reason or another.
Oh, they're indicted, almost but always they have to found. Do something extremely extreme.
Right, but they're almost always
found.
They have
found. To be corrupt cops.
Yeah, exactly.
To be indicted.
You almost never see an indictment when it comes to a citizen death involving them.
Right. And the thing is, you know, case like the case in Missouri, the case in New York, the case in Missouri, in my opinion, that was a clean shoot.
Yes.
The case in New York, this cop was stupid. He put a guy in a chokehold. He took him to the ground. He knew he shouldn't have done it. He lost a job for it. Do I call it homicide? Do I call it murder? No, I do not. And I never will.
And you and I will have to agree to disagree on that.
Right.
Which now, we have.
There is something, though, that the protesters in New York have lost all credibility forever with me. They have no more credibility whatsoever. 2 weeks ago, two New York City police officers minding their own business, sitting in their cruiser, are gunned down execution style in retaliation for this guy? No.
Which is what
all
I was...
credibility, gone. Zero. Zip, zilch, nada.
I was going to bring that up because the police department in New York has now said because of this incident, they are considering themselves to be a wartime police department. Now, there's a few things that I wanted to speak of in regards to this exact incident, so I'm glad that you brought it up. Because I was going to bring it up anyways myself. So,
yeah, sorry, I beat you to the punch.
Exactly. But,
you know, as I said before, I have family, my dad, and other family members that are police officers, both active and retired. And that is the one overwhelming fear that any member of a police, you know, law enforcement family has, is they're going to get that phone call in the middle of the night saying, dad's not coming home, or yeah, mom's not coming home because she's dead.
Right. You and I both have family that are police officers, and I would consider them to be the good guy cop types. You know, there are a lot of cops out there that are bad guys, but there are, by and large, for the most part, good guy cops that are just there to do their duty. They're just there to protect. They're just there to be a part of their community in some way. And their way of protecting their family and friends, for instance, their loved ones, is to go out there and take care of crime. And that is the kind of police officer that I can have respect for. There
they
are
put
a lot
lives
though,
on
that,
the line every night.
Yeah. And so I will say that one thing that I thought was odd as far as the police officers being shot is concerned is that once again, it took place while they were doing a drill. It was an anti-terrorism drill that was running that at that moment. And so yet again, when a drill is occurring, the exact thing that they're drilling about ends up happening. Just like 9/11, just like the 7/7 bombings, just on and on and on. You see this all the time, that these drills occur. That's what ends up happening. And that can cause a lot of confusion. But the fact that the police department is now calling this a wartime police department bothers me. Here's the reason why. The person that committed this act, this madman, this absolute crazy person that did this is dead. Why put the rest of the city under this, heinousness because of this guy who is dead? Does that
make
sense?
This is where I'm going to have to disagree with you, Ira.
Okay.
The police commissioner saying that the New York City Police Department is going onto a wartime footing does not mean that they are going to impose martial law. That does not mean they're going to go out and impose their will on the city. One, they can't.
Right.
The thing is, what he is saying is, they believe they are under attack, they are under siege, they're going to respond accordingly. Does that mean that you're going to see more police officers in riot gear? Probably. Does that mean you're going to see more police officers walking, guarding precincts with riot gear and M4s? Probably. Does that mean that if you walk up to a cop in New York City and you look suspicious, you're probably going to get drawn down on? Yeah. But you have to understand, they just lost two of their own. And there's an old saying in any police department, not just the New York City Police Department: you attack one, you attack them all.
Yeah. And again, we're going to have to agree to disagree with it.
The person or persons, because it may have been more than one, that did this is dead. Whether he makes it to trial, is convicted and sentenced to death, which New York State does have a death penalty. They haven't used it in 35 years, but they do have it. Or he mysteriously is shot in an officer-involved shooting and guns are found on him. One way or another, this guy's toast.
Yeah, that was actually one thing that I brought up in a previous episode that I did with my show before I came into this format. I spoke about the fact that the guy suicided, but if he hadn't suicided, the police officers would have suicided him for him. Because exactly. This guy was not going to make it to prison. No way. That if you shoot a cop, you may as well out yourself, because you're going to die one way or the other.
More than likely.
Okay, so before we take our break, which we're going to have to do here in just a couple of minutes, I wanted to get your take on what you think as far as the police officers turning their backs on Mayor de Blasio under the claims that it was because of his comments and his support of the protesters that got these police officers killed. What do you think about their actions there and the things that went on with that?
De Blasio is a flaming, apologetic, liberal, normal East Coast liberal.
Well, he's a communist.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he's a member of the Communist Party. So that's
one thing. Oh, now that I didn't know.
Yeah,
I don't keep up on New York City politics all that much. But as far as I'm concerned, I'd have done the same damn thing. I mean, he is out there.
At least if I remember correctly, he is. Anyways, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm just trying to clarify. I do believe, if I remember correctly, he is part of the Communist Party. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, he has thrown the New York City Police Department under the bus more times than any mayor in history. And for, you know, him to show up at these officers' funerals, first of all, is about as hypocritical as it gets. And you know my opinion on hypocrites. I know your opinion on hypocrites. Yeah. For the rest of you, I think all hypocrites should be boiled in their own oil. If there's anything in the world that drives me nuts faster than my brother, it's a hypocrite. And for those of you who are wondering who my brother is, he's the guy on the other end of the microphone tonight.
Yeah, we refer to ourselves as brothers from another mother. So,
but no, I support him. I mean, I would have done the same thing. I have talked to my dad about it, who is a retired Fort Wayne police officer. He agrees. With as many times as de Blasio has thrown the New York City Police Department under the bus, he agreed with him.
Well, you know, one interesting take that I heard, if I remember correctly, it was actually Rudy Giuliani who said this. He did not support the police officers doing this because the mayor was there representing the community, the rest of the members of the city. Whether or not he was responsible for anything, or whether he was has thrown the police officers under the bus, has done things against the police department, doesn't matter. He was there as a representation of the people of New York, and the police officers essentially turned their backs on the citizens, not just the mayor.
And how many of the citizens of New York were there to support the police department? Not a lot.
Well, how many would have been allowed? I mean, at that point, they're in a wartime police department.
They could have lined that route.
Yeah.
They could have been there. And I've seen the raw feeds, just like you have, I'm sure. There are not a lot of citizens there. There's a few.
There's a lot of protesters.
There's a lot of protesters, but there's not many of them there supporting the cops. And that number is actually starting to grow because of this incident. Whoever the guy that did this, as far as the cause, quote unquote, has seriously damaged it.
Well, it was, if I remember correctly, about 2 weeks before the shootings took place that the police department had put their officers on alert because they had gotten credible evidence to show that there would be attacks done against police officers in uniform after the protests began there, specifically from the I'm trying to remember the name of it. If I remember correctly, it was the Black Panther family. I can't remember the exact name of it. Something along those lines. Anyways, that they had received evidence showing that there would be attacks against police officers, and so therefore the police officers had to be on higher alert due to these threats. And then 2 weeks later, this ends up occurring.
Right. And the officers that were shot were both, the officer that in the incident was a white officer. Both the officers that were shot were Hispanic.
Right. They were Latino. Exactly. So, and again, that shows getting into a topic that I wanted to get into a little bit with this, but unfortunately we have to go ahead and take a break here real quick. But as far as racism is concerned and this whole race issue goes with all of these protests that are going on, I wanted to touch on those topics a little bit after we come back from the break. Guys, stick with us. We will be back in just a few minutes. Until then, enjoy this little bit of a commercial break and a little bit of music for you here. We'll be right back.
The videos of Jonathan Gruber have now become kind of almost a hit series.
Who's stupid to understand the difference?
First, by mislabeling.
The stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
The fact that some advisor who never worked on our staff expressed an opinion that I completely disagree with in terms of the voters is no reflection on the actual process that was run.
Many of them I've stolen ideas from liberally. John Gruber.
You know, basically exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter.
I don't know who he is. He didn't help write our bill. I don't know if you have seen Jonathan Gruber of MIT's analysis of the what the comparison is to the status quo.
They'll call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
Let me say, if you look up stupid in the dictionary, you'll find Gruber's picture.
But I sent it because so many people worked so hard, including John Gruber.
And the only way we could take it on was first by mislabeling it.
Ms. Gruber was an advisor.
The problem is not that Gruber helped them put Obamacare together because he was the man.
Some advisor who never worked on our staff.
The architect Jonathan Gruber reportedly has had more than a dozen appointments to visit the White House since Democrats began drafting the health care law.
Easier to talk about 6 and 8 year old videos.
Actually, realistic guys, like, look, I can't just do this. He said, it's just not going to happen politically. The bill will not pass. That ultimately became the genesis of what's called the Cadillac tax.
Some advisor who never worked on our staff.
He was certainly viewed as an important figure in helping to put Obamacare together.
Professor, do you really think the American voters are stupid?
No comment.
The new priests are the purveyors of the now, the if you don't get this right now, you are doomed mindset that is surrounding us was created by these men in black, these dark masters, these puppet masters that control the strings. They, the ones with the real knowledge of how reality works, those that know and understand the origins of us, those are the ones controlling the masses through the media, through the politics, through everything that causes us to be divided, losing the sense of what is really real. That reality is that we are all connected, all together in this thought experiment that the universe is running. We are intimately connected together, forever traveling through the universe at light speed. We're all breathing the same air. The same energies pass through us. The same emotions that you feel are the same emotions that I feel. We are all one. Stop being divided by them. Stop letting the priests of chaos and blight rule you. Stop believing the lies. Welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira, and I have been having a really interesting discussion here with my brother from another mother, Joe Long. I hope that you guys have been enjoying it as well. We have been talking about the protests that have been going on across America since the shooting death of Michael Brown, the Eric Garner issues, and all of that. What I wanted to get into is a little bit of the racism issue that has been coming forward with all of this. And I wanted to get your take on it, Joe, as far as what you're seeing and what we're seeing around the country of how this has become such a divisive thing now when originally, for instance, when all of the protests were first starting in Ferguson, I know I've talked about this before on my show, I was watching live stream coverage of everything, which was citizens recording things basically with their iPhones, with their Android devices, and sending them out to live streaming websites like Livestream, Ustream, and that sort of thing to allow people to see what was going on down there. And you could see interviews being
done. Is
there
one that's also called Ice Cream for Ice Stream? I mean, I stream, you stream, we all stream for ice. Never mind. Sorry, I had to lighten things up just a little bit.
Well, you know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting with all of it was that the people that were being interviewed on the streets by these guys kept saying over and over, this is not about race. This has nothing to do with racism. This is about justice.
Yes. And the original protests up until the... Even the ones for Eric Garner, up until both grand jury decisions came in, were very diverse crowds. They were white, black, yes. Asian. Everybody was there, you know, including, and I'm going to shamelessly steal from Rush Limbaugh here, Reverend Jackson. He had his true rainbow coalition going on. Finally, after what? 35 years he's been trying to get that thing going?
Yeah.
But and I was at work when the decision in Ferguson came in. And me and five or six other guys were standing in the break room watching that. And when that decision came in, there was a black guy standing there with us, and he looks and goes, Ferguson's going to explode. And I said, well, maybe not. You know, the Brown family was trying to keep things under control. And then it turns out that Michael Brown's dad is the one that turns around when the decision came out and screamed, burn this bitch down.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't his dad. It was his stepdad, actually. His dad was actually calling for peace elsewhere. But yeah, that was the first response afterwards. And what happened? They burned it down.
And the thing is, did they go after white-owned businesses? No.
No, and in fact,
destroyed their own community. They went after minority-owned businesses, there was one who is a gentleman of Arab descent who had his shop, his convenience store, literally ripped apart during the first riots. What happens the second time? It was looted, gutted, ripped apart again. And now he's like, I don't know if when they did an interview with him on Faux News, I can't believe I actually just said that. when they did an interview with him on Fox, you know, he said, you know, that it was his dad's shop and his dad was out of town, but they had to discuss it with him, but he didn't know if he was going to reopen.
Yeah. And that was one thing that I saw in the live streams as well, is that people were going around saying, no, that one's black owned. Don't mess with that one there. Go ahead and do that one. And they would go in and start looting it. It's really become a lot of focus as far as race goes.
They would go after the ones that were black owned, but not black enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That they supported the police, or it was like there was one lady who had an antique shop. It had been a fixture in the community for years. She was very well liked by everybody, but she supported the police, and they burned her establishment to the ground.
Yeah. And that gets into exactly what I'm trying to get to with all of the protest stuff, is that These people no longer have a leg to stand on with it all. They have not weeded out the ones who are there to cause trouble. They've in fact encouraged it in every way. And now you're starting to see the results. You're starting to see the police officers becoming more reactionary. You're starting to see the rest of America turning against them. You know, it's really pitiful. I mean, and another thing that I wanted to touch on with it all is the fact that we have at the forefront of it all Al Sharpton,
who in the first round of riots the Brown family and most of the community leaders told him and the Reverend Jackson to go home.
Yeah, with when I was watching the live streams, in fact, that was what I was going to touch on, is that over and over, they all said Al Sharpton needs to go home. He's going to make this about race, and it's not about race. He needs to just go home. And what's happened? It's become about race.
Exactly.
This whole thing, I think, was designed to get Al Sharpton back into the limelight of things so that it could become a racial issue again. You know, he's up until this happened, he was just back in his little, what, MSNBC, whatever show he's got there, or was it CNN? I don't even know.
It's insignificant NBC.
Yeah, okay. So he's got his show on there, and it's full of the ridiculousness that he's known for. And now
the man can't even speak properly. What are you talking about?
And now he's back as this media darling again, you know, this diva, and this is all now become about race. Even Obama is talking about race.
He still can't speak properly.
And it's the ridiculousness of it, the obviousness of it is so in your face with it all, because this was about a community going through a struggle, and now it's about, oh, social injustice against black people. Black lives matters. Police lives matter. You know, you're hearing this hashtag all over the place. Lives matter. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, blue, pink, polka dot, or purple. I don't give a crap what you are. Your life matters.
Yeah, not if you're green.
Well, maybe the greens.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not easy being green.
No. And Kermit the Frog would fully agree. But but see, my point is that
I agree. You and I are, to not put too fine a point on it, we're sci-fi junkies. And I know this, people are now staring at their radios going, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? There's a line from a very good show. Life calls out for life. And all life is precious. It comes from Babylon 5.
Right.
And that is very true. All life is precious. It doesn't matter how it started. We are all made of the same stuff. We are all human beings. We are all, you know, it doesn't matter what your skin tone is. I'm about the whitest white boy you're ever going to want to meet.
And I'm Indian, so, you know.
You know, I'm Irish, he's Indian. But you cut either one of us, we're red.
Yeah, we believe red. The same. Anyways, so, whatever. Yeah. No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, we are essentially all one. Skin tone only differentiates where your ancestors basically came from. It doesn't make you any more or less equal than anybody else. And that's part of the problem with the whole race issue is that this has been put forward by the powers that be as the biggest and quickest divisive measure that they can use. And they put it forward as much as they possibly can. It's a sad statement, but it is the truth. They like to have this as their weapon of choice because it is so effective. Because we have been indoctrinated to think, oh, well, there is differences between the races. There's not.
No.
There's only differences in cultures. There's a difference between the two things.
Mm-hmm.
Race does not denote culture. Okay.
No. This is a throwback to the late, to all of the segregationist, anti whatever race you want to throw into the mix crap that we have, that we should have been able to put behind us in the late 40s.
Yeah, it's the eugenics issue.
Exactly. And the thing is that it was once said that black men could not run, they couldn't handle complicated machinery, so they weren't allowed to be pilots until the Tuskegee Airmen disproved that. And the 321st Air Wing in World War II, they were a fighter. They flew P-51 Mustangs. They were bomber support in Europe. From the time they took over supporting, you know, escorting bombers, they never lost a single bomber. And they were all black. So this race issue should be dead. And it needs to die.
Yeah, it should be.
It needs to die hardcore.
It should be. And it deserves to die. But again, the powers that be, the Dark Masters, they don't want it to die. And because they own the media, that's all we're going to see. And until that changes, we're not going to see any changes with it because people are just being too constantly indoctrinated into these differences. And that doesn't just mean,
when we're talking about media, we're not just talking about Faux News or the Communist News Network or insignificant NBC. We're also talking about movies, television, and of course, music.
And it's also
rap.
And it's also, well, yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I talk about sometimes is the fact that the protesters, instead of protesting against these different things, why don't they protest against the things that are causing them to act in the way that they do? Why not protest against rap, which encourages people to go out, do drugs, drink, and slap a hoe and be all about the money and all that kind of stuff? I mean, why not protest against that kind of thing that indoctrinates you into thinking that this is the right way to be?
Right. I mean, if you look at most young black men, they look at the world this way. There are three ways to get out: NBA, the NFL, or being a rap star. Not higher education, working hard, and getting a good job.
Again, though, that's a culture thing because in depending on where you're at and where you're raised, you'll be in that culture as opposed to being raised, let's say, outside of a ghetto area where that kind of mindset is very prevalent. Go into an area that is not in that mindset of things, and you'll see a different viewpoint on life.
Right. Now, you went to school in a more ghetto area.
Yeah.
And you saw that, where I went to school in a more rural area. And yes, I did have, we had, you know, minorities. Everybody said, oh, you went to school at a farm school. Oh, you probably it was an all white school. Not even close. Did we have a lot of minorities? No, but we had them. And these were some of the hardest working kids in the school. Most of them were on the honor roll. They busted their butts.
Well, look, as far as racism is concerned, though, let me just say for the listeners here, if you think that, for instance, the things that Joe and I here are talking about are like we're being racist regarding all of this stuff, let me just clue you guys into something here. I'm American Indian, okay? You don't see a lot of us around because we've been essentially genocided off the face of the frickin' planet because of racist issues. Okay. Joe is of heavy Irish descent, which actually suffered more racism than blacks did. Whites did, you know, on and on and on.
Right.
Okay. The Irish immigrants were horribly treated for many years and still are to a point.
The thing is, when it came to getting a job, when most Irish immigrants came here, there were signs up everywhere. No Irish. No Irish.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to, the Irish immigrants, most of them, yes, there's still very large concentrations of them in New York. There's still very large concentrations of Irish in Boston. Gotta love Boston. But for the most part, you know where the Irish went? They went west. To get away from everything. They became your... And the thing is, the Irish, we were very much maligned. We still are. You'll still hear people say, that dirty Mick, that, you know, whatever. You know, we get accused of having extremely violent tempers. We are nothing but a bunch of drunks.
Which, funnily enough, the American Indians are also accused of that. Oh, you hear so often the drunk Indian that forgot where everything is and can't do anything. And oh yeah.
And the thing is, my brother doesn't drink.
Not a bit.
He has the occasional. He'll have an occasional drink on a special occasion, or if it's you know, every once in a while he'll get a little drunk. It hasn't happened in a very long time. And as for me, yeah, I may have a few drinks here and there, but no, getting drunk is just not fun.
Right. And see, okay. So getting back a little bit to the topic here, the reason why I bring this up is the fact that even though you and I, for instance, come from an ancestry that has been much maligned racially, we don't hold the ancestors of those, you know, we don't hold the people that are now here responsible for things that their ancestors did to ours.
Exactly.
And that's unfortunately something that you see right now going on a lot as far as the racial issue is concerned. This type of thing is put forward a lot. There was just a rapper here a couple of days ago, and I cannot remember who it was off the top of my head. I'm sorry. But he basically is trying to put forward a program that will sue every white person as reparation for things that their ancestors did when they owned slaves.
Now, the problem I see with that is not every white person in this country's ancestors own slaves.
Yeah, I was just about ready to say that. Only 1.5% of white of white people at that time period, in fact, actually owned slaves.
Right. And I can tell you this, my ancestors weren't even in this country when slavery was going on.
And the mine were busy being killed.
Right. You know, the first Longs and the rest of my family actually didn't get here until the early 1900s.
When slavery was abolished.
Right. And, you know, that was the white side of the Irish and the English side of my ancestry. The rest of my ancestry was right there next to Iris being massacred.
Yep. The Cherokee.
Because I'm Cherokee. I'm also Cherokee. Yep. So, yeah. You want to talk about being maligned? Hey, where's my reparations? Where's yours?
Yeah. And see, that's exactly the next thing that I was going to state with it all is the fact that the ridiculousness of the racial issue and the issue of, oh, well, your ancestors owned slaves and blah, blah, blah. Look, guys, if you don't
200 plus years ago, let it go.
Not only that, but look, if you go back into history, every single race, no matter who it is responsible for doing some really heinous bullcrap. Okay.
You want to talk about heinous bullcrap as far as the black man's concerned? Who do you think sold the slaves to the white traders?
Right. And that's something that's not really talked about. Okay. So I guess we really have covered this the topic of the protests and the race and all that kind of stuff really well. I mentioned something about Al Sharpton, and I kind of wanted to segue into a topic that I wanted to make sure that we touch tonight before we end up running out of time. And I know this is something that we can go on about for a little while. Recently, Sony got hacked. And it's claimed that the hacking attempt was done by North Korea, that it was North Korean hackers that were responsible, that they were threatened because of the new movie, The Interview, that was supposed to be released on Christmas Day.
And was
in different ways, yes. They claim that the North Koreans are responsible for this because in the movie, it's about the assassination of Kim Jong-un, okay? Which I saw the scene of that, and it was interesting to say the least. Anyways, some information actually has come forward a little bit that Sony actually may not have been hacked by North Korea, that it was somebody else that did the hacking. And in fact, some evidence has come forward that's pretty credible to show that Sony itself was responsible for its own hack, which makes me wonder if the interview may not have been tested very well. And they thought, you know, for a great viral campaign, why don't we do things this way and let's see how much money we can make off of this thing. The thing that I find interesting in regards to all of this, though, is that, you know, at this point in the country, in America here, we have this issue of we get patted down at airports. You know, grandma's panties are all in a bunch because the TSA is shoving their hands down there. The police are militarized, which we discussed earlier. You know, armed school teachers.
Obviously, I agree with that one.
Yeah. Torture people. Drone kill children. Wiretap every phone line and read every single email and text message and so forth. And America just says, yeah, who cares? But pull one stupid comedy movie from theaters and America says, this is where we draw the line. We're not a nation ruled by fear. You know, it's ridiculous. It really
the
is.
The thing is, it's a Seth Rogen comedy. Seth Rogen hasn't had a decent idea in his head ever. I've watched The Hangover and The Hangover 2. And The Hangover 3. My parents think they're absolutely hilarious. I sat there and was like, I'm supposed to laugh at this?
Yeah. I've seen a couple of movies with him, and I didn't really care for them too much at
Who's
all.
Who's the other guy that's in it?
James Rogen. Franco.
And he's another one. It's like, you're supposed to be funny? Give me Jeff Dunham. Give me Whoopi Goldberg. Give me Billy Crystal. Give me the late, great, wondrous Robin. God, I miss Robin Williams. Robin Williams would have had a great take on this.
Yeah.
He'd have been like, seriously? That's all he would have said about it. He'd have just been like, seriously? And everybody would have laughed themselves silly.
Yeah. My thing is, okay, so we have this situation where, okay, let's say, for example, North Korea is responsible for doing the hack, which I'll grant as a possibility, but in my own experience of things and the research that I've done, more than likely they were not. They have to go through China to do anything as far as the internet is concerned. If nothing else, China was extremely complicit in this happening. Okay.
Oh yeah. China would do it just because Sony, China would do it just to mess with Sony Pictures just because they can.
Yeah. And, I think it's more of this was a real good test bed for things. And like I said, my suspicion is that it actually was more than anything, an inside job and a way to make a crappy movie, make a lot of money. I would not put it past Sony. I know I've had a lot of experience with Sony over the years, and I would not put it past them to do this. You know, Sony got hacked
on a PlayStation.
Well, Sony got hacked a few years ago, and it shut everything down. All of Sony was shut down for like a month while they redid their infrastructure. And now, what was it, last week, both the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live were all shut down due to hacking.
Yeah, they had a what they call a DDoS attack, a directed denial of service attack, and the thing is, hackers are hackers. They do things because they can or to make money. These hackers, which I think it was something Lizard, I can't remember the full name, Lizard something or another, that did the DDoS attack, they did it on Christmas Day. I'd like to find all these guys and slap them right in the face, because it's like, dude, you realize that 90% of the people that are getting on to the PSN, which is PlayStation Network, or Xbox Live, are kids that just got brand new Xboxes and kids that just got brand new PlayStations. And you just made their entire Christmas look like crap.
Well, yeah, but they do that on purpose. They're trolls. That's what they do.
And out to all the trolls out there, I'm going to give you an ancient Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Jackass. Anyway, so... Look, here's the thing, though. What we're seeing right now, actually, are, I fully believe, the first salvos in the new type of warfare. I actually did an episode about this just not too long ago. What we see happening when it comes to these different attacks that are going on is the new type and new style of warfare. We don't really have to worry anymore about nuclear weapons. What we need to be concerned about are these cyber attacks, these things that can directly impact our infrastructure. I'll give a great example. At the beginning of December, the Swedish internet was shut down for hours, and the whole thing took days to recover. They lost their cable television. They lost their ability to make phone calls. They lost electricity, so on and so forth, because a hacker group decided to attack the Electronic Arts game site, and they did it in such a massive way with a direct a DDoS attack that it shut down the whole ISP for the country. And this essentially shut the country down for days because of it. And they were only off for like an hour's worth of time. Okay. For us here in America, for example, our infrastructure is really unsteady. Okay. It is very on the edge of collapse. It is old. Okay.
Extremely old.
And what we see happening is everything now is connected to the internet. You can do absolutely nothing without it being directly done through the internet in some way or another. You, for example, Joe, I will give this as a perfect point for you to talk about a little bit. The trucking industry is very tied to the internet in the way that things are routed, in the way that things are delivered, in the way that things are even done through your Qualcomms, for instance, that are connected up to the internet to maintain your speed. If you go over a certain speed, you are limited. If you
limited the speed,
well, I know that's from governors that are there.
Is an actual physical
right
governor system that are placed on the engines. But you're right. As far as getting an order, as far as the routing that the company wants to take, as far as actually getting the loads, the Qualcomm system is not directly tied to the internet. The Qualcomm systems are a satellite-based communication system.
Okay, but what I'm meaning is that if
it has to be tied back into the company, that Qualcomm system, they don't have satellite transmitters on the roofs. They send that signal to the Qualcomm centers or whatever via the internet.
Right.
If they lose that, they're out of communication with the truck, with their trucks.
Right. Okay.
And if that were to happen, if every trucking company in this country, including the independents, lost communication with their dispatchers for say 24 hours, we couldn't pick up or deliver anything. You know, we could deliver the loads we had on us, but we would not have any information as far as picking one up, even by calling. You know, we could call and say, you know, if there was a DDoS attack that shut down the internet, we wouldn't have any access to that information. We wouldn't be shut down for 24 hours. If you shut down every truck in this country for 24 hours, it'll take 3 months to get things back up and running the way they should.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was trying to get to, is that if something were to happen to the trucking industry because of the internet going down, the grocery stores that you go to buy your goods are only there supplied with basically a 3-day stock that's rotated out. If they could not get a delivery for, let's say, 4 or 5 days, they're out of stock because they've only stocked enough to sell for about 3 days. And especially if there's a run on it, it's gone in a day. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think that people are going to act stupid because when there's no food, think of Black Friday shoppers. Okay. If you see
Friday shoppers multiplied by 1,000.
Well, and if you see the craziness that goes on with that, and you don't think that they're going to act that way when there's no food, you're crazy. Okay. But my point is that we have this really dangerous situation as far as our internet is concerned. And we're seeing this new style of warfare happening because if, let's say, for instance, Russia wanted to fire a nuke at us, we're firing nukes right back at them. Everything goes to pot real quick. The ground is no longer usable. The infrastructure is completely destroyed. The buildings are completely eradicated, so on and so forth. They're not going to be able to use the land that they just got access to. Okay. However, shut down the internet for, let's say, a month, 2 months, whatever. It's been flat out said, you know, the researchers have come forward with this information that if we were to lose internet for a month, 90% of the population of America would be dead within a year. Okay. So let's say, for instance, Russia or China wanted to come in and take us over to get all doom and gloomy on you people. Let's say that China wanted to come in and take us over. They wouldn't have to nuke us. They wouldn't have to poison us. They wouldn't have to do any of the number of things that they could do and do have access to. All they'd have to do is figure out a way to shut our internet off, and we're going to kill each other. We're going to kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Because think about it this way. People are like, well, it's just the internet. That's just to play games or check out Facebook. No, it's not. The electrical power grids have been tied into the internet so that less and less technicians and less people can monitor, control, and run more and more of our nationwide power grid. You lose the internet, you lose access to that power grid.
And that includes the nuclear power plants. Boom. Mm-hmm. Everything is so intimately tied to the internet structure now. You cannot
think about another example is you've heard of you pick up the phone, you call 911. Oh, you're at 128 South 38th Street. Now you pick up with the internet going, you pick it up. Where are you at? We don't know where you're at. We can't help you.
Yeah.
The enhanced 911 system gone.
Yeah.
If they're using a VOIP type system, you ain't getting through.
Yeah, they don't even have a phone at that point. Exactly. And that's one thing as well. They have gotten rid of almost all of our landlines here in America. Everything phone line wise is done over the internet. There's not even pay phones really anymore.
No, because everybody has a cell phone.
Yeah.
And if they do a DD, not only take out the internet, but knock the cell system offline, forget a year. Try 6 months.
Right.
Try
three. And that's one thing as well with the power structure that you were talking about, the electrical system. You know, just as an example, if someone were to do an attack and took over the power system, they could cause power to go through these different transformers that are around. And some of these transformers are huge. Okay. These transformers that are there, the really big ones, take a minimum of a year to build each. So let's say, for instance, they were to take out 20 of these transformers across America. It's going to take at least 20 years to build the transformers to replace those transformers.
Right, because the great big huge ones that he's talking about, they don't keep them on stock.
No.
The little ones like that are up on the power pole, oh yeah, they got those. Because that's a five gallon bucket with brine water and a and a Tesla coil in it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all that is. They can have that built in a day.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the big ones, the really huge ones that you see. There's not a whole lot of them tied to the system, but you take out one or two of those in the right spots, the whole power grid across the country goes.
Right.
And it's not going to come back.
When you take out one of those, they also produce a little-known phenomenon known as an electromagnetic pulse, which means anything in the radius of that pulse that is run off of a silicon chip is toast.
In a heartbeat, yeah.
It's dead. It will not function whatsoever. And guess what, folks? That's everything.
Yep.
There is not a... I'm sitting here right now holding in my hand what's known as a Tesla. It's a vapor mod. I push a button, it heats up. It heats up a liquid. I inhale it. It's tasty. It's got a little tiny electronic microchip in there. EMP, I ain't vaping anymore.
You're back to cigarettes. Okay, so we've only got just a few minutes left, actually, and I wanted to touch on a couple of things here real quick. Guys, we don't want to come forward with doom and gloom. Yes, there is a lot of negative in the world right now, and that's unfortunate. However, even though we bring you, let's say, for instance, the things that we've talked about tonight have a negative connotation, they have a negative bent to them, we don't have to live in that negative. We can talk about the negative, and it's important to pay attention to it because it does impact our lives. But you don't have to live in that fear mindset. You don't have to be afraid of these things. It comes down to being prepared. For instance, if something were to occur to the power grid or to the internet, do you have enough food on hand that will get you through a time period where things are going to go crazy for a little while? Do you have a means to have water supply? You know, do you have a 5-gallon bucket and some trash bags with some kitty litter on hand to use as a honey bucket? You know, I mean, all of these different things are important to consider. And, you know, we're coming into the new year here. Maybe for a New Year's resolution, instead of thinking, oh, well, I need to lose weight or I need to dye my hair a different color or whatever your New Year's resolution may be, why not make a resolution to say every month from now on, I am going to buy extra a week's worth of canned food for myself and my family. You know, every month. Buy a week's worth of supply. And if something doesn't happen, then for the next 6 months, 12 months, right there, you've got 6 to 12 weeks worth of food on hand and ready to go. You see,
you can also buy dried and cured meats such as jerky. Jerky is a great protein source.
Or pemmican.
God bless you.
Pemmican, you know, the dried meat with fruits that are pounded together and mixed in powdered form and that sort of thing. Old Indian food.
Again, I say, God bless you. You're an old Indian. I'm an old Irish. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know your beef. You know your jerky.
I know beef. But, you know, and we try to present, even though we've been talking a lot of doom and gloom tonight, as you've listened to us all night, I hope we've at least made you smile, made you chuckle a couple of times, because the greatest weapon against fear is laughter. If you can look at something that scares you and laugh, you've already beaten it.
Yeah, it doesn't hold any fear over you anymore. Yeah, and again, you know, preparation is the biggest weapon that you can use as well for the darker things that may be coming down the pipe. And even if nothing happens, which is my hope, even if nothing were to happen to make you need that stuff, it's on hand just in case. You never know when a storm is going to come along and knock your power out for a week. You never know when someone is going to cause a problem in your area and you have to be locked down in your house for the next couple of days or whatever. I mean,
or like what happened to us up here last winter, right after Christmas, we got pounded with 70 inches of snow. And quite literally, we're barricaded in our houses for about a week before we were actually able to get out and do things again. Now, I myself, you know, we had plenty of food on, you know, my dad and I both went out the night before we knew there was going to be a bad storm coming. We watched it coming in on both the national radar and the local radar. We knew it was coming. So we went out, we got ourselves extra food, extra supplies of, you know, whatever was necessary, and we were quite comfortable. I know my dear brother, who I swear to God needs to be put on the show Doomsday Preppers, was quite comfortable.
Extremely. You know, look at Buffalo, New York this year, you know, over this wintertime, they got hit with, what was it, almost 80 inches worth of snow. And
oh, they had 6 feet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, the people that were prepared ahead of time for this kind of thing had absolutely no issues. They kicked back by their little fires and had a great old time, you know?
Right.
So, you know, preparation is the key. So, guys, with that in mind, look forward to things. Plan ahead, you know, plan for the worst and hope for the best. That's what it all comes down to. Exactly. So, Joe, do you have any final thoughts that you want to express?
No, the only thing I'd like to say is, you know, it's been a great pleasure for me to actually be here tonight, to be out to share my unique thoughts with this audience. And I look forward to doing it again very soon. And just remember, don't be afraid. Laugh. Just laugh. Because you want to really aggravate the Dark Masters? Laugh at them. They hate that.
You got it.
So for me, to all of you out there, I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. And as the great ball starts to drop in Times Square, Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, Joe, for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. I will definitely have you on again real soon. Have a great night, brother.
You too, bro.
So, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of Open Eyes. My name is Ira, and I hope that you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. Be sure to stick around. Michael Vera is going to be broadcasting Late Night in the Midlands in just a few minutes, and it's going to be a really good show. Make sure you stay tuned and listen. If you want to go to my show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE052. I'll have the links to all of the news stories that I gave you here. And if you want to send me a message, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. You can go to Facebook and Twitter. I'm at Open Eyes Network. On scene.is, I am Ira Robinson. I make it really easy to find me. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening.